Better yet, when the blue and reds were turned off, it looked like any other vehicle on the road. The envy of cops everywhere, she thought. She'd picked up her partner, Dan Ramirez, at 8 o'clock sharp. As always, he looked the model of perfect. Slicked back black hair, tan skin, dark eyes, decked out in the finest clothes. A canary yellow shirt was under a crimson jacket. He wore crimson slacks, a light brown belt, and light brown shoes. "We should really do something tonight," he said. "Last night of our shift. Might be a Wednesday, but it feels like a Friday." He offered a warm smile. In return, Avery batted her ice-blue eyes and flashed him a quick and loving grin. But then her features turned unreadable. She focused on the road and inwardly wondered what she was going to do about her relationship with Dan Ramirez. The term relationship wasn't even accurate. Ever since she'd taken down Edwin Peat, one of the strangest serial killers in recent Boston history, her partner had made his feelings known, and Avery had, in turn, let him know that she might be interested as well. The situation hadn't escalated much further. They'd had dinner, shared loving looks, held hands. But Avery was worried about Ramirez. Yes, he was handsome and respectful. He'd saved her life after the Edwin Peat debacle and practically remained by her side the entire time during her recovery. Still, he was her partner. They were around each other 5 days a week or more, from 8 a.m. to 6 or 7 or later, depending on a case. And Avery hadn't been in a relationship in years. The one time they kissed, it had felt like she was kissing her ex-husband, Jack, and she'd immediately pulled away. She checked the dashboard clock. They hadn't been in the car for 5 minutes, and Ramirez was already talking about dinner. "You have to talk to him about this," she realised. Ugh. As they headed toward the office, Avery listened to the police band radio as she did every morning. Ramirez suddenly turned on a jazz station and they drove a few blocks, listening to light jazz mixed with a police operator detailing various activities around Boston. "Seriously?" Avery asked. "What? How am I supposed to enjoy the music and listen to the calls? It's confusing. Why do we have to listen to both at the same time?" "All right, fine," he said in mock disappointment. "But I better get to listen to my music at some point today. It makes me feel calm and smooth, you know?" "No," Avery thought, "I don't know." She hated jazz. Thankfully, a call came on the radio and saved her.
"We have a 1016-1032 in progress on East 4th Street off Broadway," said a scratchy female voice. "No shots have been fired. Any cars in the vicinity?"
"Domestic abuse," Ramirez said. "Guy's got a gun." "We're close," Avery replied. "Let's take it." She turned the car around, hit the lights, and picked up her transceiver.
"This is Detective Black," she said, and offered her badge number. "We're approximately 3 minutes away. We'll take the call." "Thank you, Detective Black," the woman replied, before she gave out the address, apartment number, and background information.
One of the many aspects Avery loved about Boston were the houses. Small homes, most of them 2 to 3 stories high, with a uniform structure that gave much of the city its communal feel. She hung a left onto 4th Street and cruised to their destination.
"This doesn't mean we're off the hook on paperwork," she insisted.
"Nah, of course not," Ramirez shrugged.
The tone of his voice, however, coupled with his attitude and the unruly piles on his own desk, made Avery wonder if an early morning drive had been the best decision. Not much detective work was needed to discover the house in question. One police cruiser, along with a small crowd of people that were all hidden behind something, surrounded a blue stucco house with blue shutters and a black roof. A Latino man stood on the front lawn in his boxers and a tank top. In one hand, he held the hair of a woman who was on her knees and crying. In his other hand, he simultaneously waved a gun at the crowd, the police, and the woman.
"Get the fuck back!" he yelled. "Every one of you! I see you there!"
He pointed his pistol toward a